Good morning. Welcome to Riverside. We are so happy that you're joining us today online. What a wonderful day to come together in this way and worship. We are going to celebrate today. Today is a special day. Today is Mother's Day. This year, Mother's Day may look a little different for all of us, but that's okay. It's still a special day, a day when we can appreciate and love those women that have had a huge impact in our lives. Today, I want to say thank you to all the mothers. Thank you for what you do for your families. Thank you for the way that you love and support your families. But I also want to appreciate all of the ladies at our Riverside family. You guys all of you ladies, make a huge difference, a huge impact on our church family. And so we want to celebrate each one of you. Each one of you love and care for our church family. And that is such a blessing for all of us. Yesterday, we had the wonderful privilege of making some deliveries to all of the ladies at our Riverside Church. I hope that each one of you received your package. I hope that it made you feel special and loved, because we love you and you are special, and we appreciate everything you do to love and support our church family. We are going to, this month for May, we are going to be collecting school supplies. That is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to give back, to love our community, and to love our world. This year, our school supplies that we're collecting are going to Reach Out Honduras. It's a wonderful mission in Honduras for children in middle school and high school that wouldn't otherwise have an opportunity for education. We have the opportunity to give back, to give to those children who need our support and need our love. So this month, we would love to encourage you to either purchase school supplies and drop them off at our church building, or you should in your inbox have an email with a link to Amazon. There's an Amazon wish list of all the things that they could use that would help them start their school year. So I hope that you all take advantage of this opportunity to love and to serve others. Today, as we worship, we are going to get an opportunity to worship with Zach and the praise team. We are thrilled that they have put together another worship video for us this morning. So my prayer is that you can sit back, you can sing along, you can worship with the praise team. And then Corey's going to bring us a message about the good news. I hope that today will be a blessing for you.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Good morning, church. I want to welcome all of you who are watching online today and say thank you for joining us for Church Online. Maybe you're watching for the first time today. Maybe somebody invited you to watch with them. If that's you, thank you for joining us. I'm so glad you decided to watch and to be a part of what God is doing in this place with us today. Maybe you've been watching now for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks because somebody extended an invitation. And again, if that's you, I'm so grateful. And I hope you know that whenever we are able to start to gather again, that you are invited to come and to be a part of this church. We would love nothing more than for you to become a part of this faith family. So if you're looking for a church home, we just want you to know we would love to welcome you home to Riverside and to be a part of what God is doing among us here in this place. Right now, we're in the middle of this series that we're calling The Good News. And I don't know about you, but it seems like every week there's more news, there's breaking news, and it's not always good news. Just this past week, I'm sure your heart was broken as mine was when I saw the news about Ahmaud Arbery. Just this morning when I was out of my morning run, I stopped when I got to the 2.3 mile mark, and I just stopped. I stopped and I said a prayer for Ahmaud. I said a prayer for his family. I didn't know what had happened 2 months ago until the video that came out this week, and then we all discovered what had happened in this tragedy. And so I stopped and I prayed and I asked God to bring an end to racial violence, to racial injustice. And I prayed for God to bring about racial reconciliation. It's amazing to me that right now the world is unified around this one common goal. We want to put an end to COVID-19. We want to come up with a cure and put an end to the coronavirus. And as the world, we've all united and rallied around this one thing because the virus doesn't discriminate between who's who. If you have this color skin or that color skin, if you make this much money or that much money, if you speak this language or that language, or you live in this country or that country, it doesn't care. And we're all unified because it's a common problem. And I just found myself this morning praying to God, wishing that the world would be united around this one thing to put an end to racial injustice. And I pray, Riverside, I want you to know I'm praying that would start with us. I pray often that we would become an even more diverse church. I'm praying that when people come into this church, that what they would see is a picture of, just a small picture of what heaven looks like, the beauty of it, in all of its diversity, in all of its wonder and awe. And so I pray that it would begin with us, and that we would, in this place, be a light to the world, be that city on a hill. I pray that, God, you would make things on earth as they are in heaven, and that, God, you would start with us. But there is good news today. We're talking about this idea that there is good news. In fact, there is good news that transcends every other news, that something happened. There was an event some 2,000 years ago that literally changed the world. And it's through that news that we see every other piece of news. And what happened some 2,000 years ago is that Jesus was crucified on a cross on a Friday, but then on Sunday, he rose up from the grave. And we believe that news changes everything. And over the past few weeks, we've been talking about what that good news means for our lives. And today I want to talk about that once again because I think this good news has such incredible implications for all of us. But before I do, I want to start with this question. And here's the question: why are you here? Why are you here? But before we answer that question, I do want to tell you about this. There was another good news story, a good news story that happened right here in our own city, right here in our own community, that caught my attention this week. And I think it's an incredible good news story. And just in case you didn't see it, in case somehow you missed it, I want you to see it. So if you will, watch this video.
One Coppell family experienced the miracle of childbirth in a way they really didn't expect. It was at home in the middle of this pandemic. Fox 4's Lynn Nguyen spoke with the family and has the story.
As soon as my water broke, contractions came on really strong, and I knew we wouldn't make it for sure.
9 months and 13 days pregnant during a pandemic. Ashley Faldmo says she woke up April 8th immediately feeling pain and called her husband Chase.
She said, call 911, my water just broke. And I said, are you sure, Ash? And I didn't hear anything on the other side of the line. So I was like, okay, looks like this is real. So I called 911 immediately.
I actually told him to call 911 and then dropped to the floor and was in pure labor mode.
Alone with her two young daughters, Faldmo says 4-year-old Reagan was able to open the garage by herself to make sure paramedics could come inside.
I was definitely scared for my girls, just for them to have to witness me in such agony. But I was so grateful that Reagan was inspired to immediately open our garage.
During this whole quarantine episode, you never know who's going to come and help. So there was a lot running through my mind. I was like, uh-oh, she might be giving birth by herself.
But within minutes, Coppell Fire and EMS wearing masks came to help.
As soon as they arrived, the first person asked, is this your first? And I said, my third. And he immediately responded, this baby's coming now.
13 minutes later in the kitchen, Collins Grace Faldmo came into the world at 7 pounds, 12 ounces.
I was so grateful for those paramedics who made everything so calm and brought peace into our home at such a traumatic time. It was incredible.
What a story. That was Lynn Nguyen reporting. So we want to tell you that both mom and baby are healthy. They're doing well. They were also able to visit with the firefighters, first responders who helped them that day because they wanted to say thank you. Also, the family said that they were able to recover at home with the help of their midwife after being checked out by the paramedics. They're doing great.
What an incredible good news story. I know that like you, we are all thankful for our first responders. And I don't know if you noticed this, but one of those first responders in this particular news story is our very own Jeremy Broom, who is a firefighter here in Coppell. He and his crew, he was the captain of this crew that responded to help this family, to help deliver this beautiful baby. And Jeremy, if you're watching, we want you to know we love you. We're thankful for you. We're thankful for your crew. We're thankful for your coworkers. We're thankful for all of our first responders and for what you guys do. You guys are essential workers, and you have to continue to go to work every day to serve our community and our city. And thank you for doing that. We are so grateful to you. We're so grateful for you. What you may not know, Riverside family, is that after this, Jeremy had his own crisis. He had to be rushed to the ER for an appendectomy. The good news is he is okay, but I know he and his family would appreciate your prayers at this time. You know, as I watched this story and I think about our first responders, I was struck with this idea that, you know, whenever a firefighter puts on a uniform, whenever a first responder puts on a uniform, in that moment, they have a distinctive mission. They know that they have a clear purpose. They know exactly what they're supposed to do. If there's a problem, then they're the ones who respond to help fix it. If there's a crisis, they step into the middle of the mess to try to help however they can. Whenever the call comes, they jump into action to rescue and to save lives. They do whatever they can to help whenever the call comes. They have a distinctive mission and a crystal clear purpose. And whenever they put on that uniform, they understand what they are called to do. And as I thought about that, I wondered about this. I wonder, Do we have that same sense of calling of purpose? Do we know our purpose? When we put on Christ, do we know what our purpose is? Do we have a clear vision of our mission? When we step into the Christian life, do we understand what it is that we're called to do? We've talked about this before, that for a lot of people, when they put on Christ, when they became a Christian, they made that decision. They did that because they wanted to avoid going to hell. They want to go to heaven when they die so they could be with Jesus one day forever and ever. After they die, they can go to heaven. And I hope you have figured out by now, I hope you've understood by now that that's not the point or the goal of the Christian life. We're striving in everyday, ordinary ways to bring heaven to earth, to make things on earth as they are in heaven, just as Jesus prayed. But do we have this crystal clear sense of our mission and vision? What if when we put on Christ, it was more than just about our eternal destination? What if when we put on Christ, we were stepping into something that had a clear purpose and a distinctive mission for our lives? Maybe the question today is, why are we here? And the good news today is that just in the very same way that when a firefighter puts on that uniform, he or she knows what their purpose and what their mission is. In the very same way, when you put on Christ, when you become a Christ follower, when you become a Christian, in the very same way, you have a crystal clear purpose and mission. The problem is that so many of us, including myself, we tend to forget what that is. And so it's imperative that we keep coming back, keep returning to the words of Jesus to remember what our purpose and what our mission is as people who have decided to follow Jesus. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app today, what I want to encourage you to do, invite you to do, is to open up your scripture to the Gospel of Matthew. Today I want to start at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, and I want you to see some of his first words, some of those first red letters he ever spoke to those first disciples that he called. I want you to see what Jesus said when he called them. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, I want to invite you to follow along. We'll start in Matthew chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 18. Here's what Matthew says happened at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. He said, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Maybe you've heard this story before. You can almost imagine this scene. It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining on the Sea of Galilee. And here comes Jesus walking along the shoreline when he sees these two brothers, Peter and Andrew, fishing. And he calls out to them, hey, come follow me. Drop your nets and come follow me. And here's what's amazing. They do. Let me just ask you a question. If Jesus were to show up today at your house, or if you've already gone back to work and he showed up at your office and he came in and he found you and he told you to stop what you're doing and follow him right then and right there, would you? Some of you would. Maybe a lot of you would, because you've known Jesus all your life. You've been following Jesus for a long time. So if he somehow were to show up today like that and were to call you to come and follow him right then and right there, you might say yes to that because you've known Jesus for a long time. But what if you barely knew the man? Maybe you've heard something he said, or maybe you even got to hear him teach once, or you've heard he can do miracles, he can do things no one else can do. But the truth is, you barely know the man. Would you still drop everything to follow him? Apparently, that's what Peter and Andrew do in this moment. There was something about the sound of his voice. There was something in the twinkle of his eye. When they saw his face and heard him call their names, they dropped everything to follow him. What's interesting, though, is that this isn't typically how people became disciples of a rabbi. Typically, rabbis didn't go around calling people to come follow them. If you wanted to be the disciple of a rabbi, you went and you found that rabbi, and you asked for his permission, for his blessing, for the opportunity to sit at his feet, to learn from him. If you wanted to be his disciple, you had to go talk to him and ask for that opportunity. But that's not what Jesus does here. Jesus, walking along the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee, sees Peter and Andrew, a couple of fishermen, two pretty unlikely candidates to be disciples of any rabbi, and he calls them. And what's amazing is that they do. They drop everything to follow him. Maybe if Jesus was some well-known, well-respected, well-thought-of rabbi walking along the Sea of Galilee, calling out to people to follow him, maybe then they would do that. But the truth is, at this point, we're at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's largely unknown. He is a self-proclaimed rabbi from the no-name town of Nazareth, strolling along the Sea of Galilee, calling fishermen to be his disciples, and they drop everything to follow him? But the truth is, that's not all that's strange about this moment. Some of you may have noticed, in fact, some of you right now, this may be driving you crazy, but I actually deleted part of this verse, all right? Let me show you all of what Jesus said in this moment. Jesus said, come follow me. But then he said this, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. I think that's interesting because the invitation of Jesus wasn't just an invitation to come and follow. It wasn't an invitation just to be a disciple, just to come sit at his feet and learn. It was an invitation to be a part of his mission. For a lot of us, this is kind of where we are, right? We heard the call of Jesus to come and follow him, and at one point in our life, we said yes to that. We confessed Jesus as the Lord and Savior of our life. We accepted his invitation to come and to follow him, to come and to learn, to come and to be his disciple, to come to sit at his feet. And ever since that day, we have spent our lives learning all that we can about Jesus, learning all that we can about God, learning all that we can about Scripture. We haven't missed a Sunday. We haven't missed a sermon. We haven't missed a Bible class. We've been at church every time the doors were open because we wanted to come and to follow Jesus. We wanted to come and to learn. So if you want to know the 12 tribes of Israel, just ask us. We can give you the list. If you need to know the names of the 12 disciples, we've got them memorized. If you want to know who has the longest name in the Bible, we can tell you that. If you want to know where to find the shortest verse, we can tell you that too. If you're building a team for Bible trivia, you need to come and find us because we got all the answers. We've spent our life memorizing the names and the places and the list and the facts because we wanted to come and follow. We wanted to come and learn, and we've spent our whole lives learning. But if we were to be honest with ourselves, and let's just be honest for a moment, if we were to be honest with ourselves, that's the totality of our discipleship at this point. If you wanted to characterize our discipleship at the feet of Jesus, it's been all about learning all we could about him, about God, about the Scriptures. And don't misunderstand me. I love learning all we can about God. I would encourage you to learn all you can about Jesus. I personally love to study the Scriptures. I truly enjoy it. It's fun for me. You know, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I think you should learn all that you can learn about God, about Jesus, about his word. But the invitation of Jesus isn't an invitation just to come and learn. It's a call to come and follow. And it's not just to follow so you can sit at his feet to learn all he has to say, but it's come and follow so I can teach you how to fish, so I can give you a new purpose and a new direction for your life. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew and said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, that wasn't a strange thought or idea for them. They were fishermen by trade. Jesus was saying, hey, from this point on, you're not going to just fish for fish. Now you're going to fish for people. In other words, from this point on, you have a new direction. You have a new purpose. You have a new mission in and over your life. And this is it. From this day forward, you're going to be fishing for people, and I'm going to show you how to do that. I have a friend, he's really more of a mentor. He lives in a different city, but he would always tell me, Corey, the last thing we need is another Bible class. We need to go and do something. And he grew up going to a church like a lot of us grew up going to church. They met 2, 3, 4 times a week. And every time you came to church, it was so you could learn something else about God or about Jesus or about Scripture. And he wasn't knocking that. What he was trying to say was we need to take what we've learned and we need to go out into the community, into the world around us, and we need to join Jesus and be a part of what he's doing in the world around us. We need to be on mission and to be a part of the ministry of Jesus right here in this community, right here in our world, right here and right now. We need to go and do something. Take what we've learned and go and apply it. Take what we have and go and share it. And I think that's what Jesus was saying in this moment. Come follow me. Absolutely. Come and learn from me. Please. Come sit at my feet and be my disciples. Yes. But here's the purpose. The invitation isn't just to come and follow. It's so you can be a part of a new mission. It's so you can be a part of what I'm doing, and I'm going to show you how to do that. I'm going to show you how to fish for people. And so when Jesus begins his ministry with his disciples, he begins it this way. Come and follow me. Let me show you how to fish for people. But then if you fast forward to the very end of Matthew's gospel, you find some of the last words that Jesus said to his disciples. And I want you to see this too. This is after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Now Jesus is about to return to the Father, but before he leaves his disciples, this is what Matthew says Jesus said to these disciples. Matthew 28, starting again in verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus began his ministry by telling his disciples, come and follow. And then right at the very end, he reminds them, hey, this is your purpose. This is your mission. Go and make disciples of all nations. He didn't tell his disciples, hey, make sure you keep learning all you can about God. Make sure you don't miss a church service on a Sunday. Make sure you're there all the time. And don't forget, be nice to people. I'm sure they did all of those things. Jesus said, come and follow me. And then before I leave, make sure you hear this. This is your purpose. This is your mission. This is your reason for being. This is why you were here, to go and make disciples of all nations. What's interesting is that it seems that every single disciple of Jesus lived his life to do just that. According to Fox's Book of Martyrs, James was the first of the 12 to die a martyr's death in Judea. We actually learned that just from reading the book of Acts. Matthew preached in Ethiopia, where he was beheaded for his faith. Matthias, he's the one that replaced Judas, was stoned in Jerusalem, and then he was beheaded. Andrew went to Asia and was crucified on an X-shaped cross. Mark was dragged to death in Alexandria. Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. He refused to be crucified the same way Jesus was, so he was turned upside down on his cross. Jude was crucified in Mesopotamia. Bartholomew preached in several countries before being beaten and then crucified in India. Thomas was also famous for carrying the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, to India. He preached in several countries and before he was martyred in India by being run through with spears and then burned to death. John traveled as far as Rome, where he was tortured, but he didn't die. And after that, he was exiled to the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. After his exile, then he was able to return to Ephesus, where he lived out the rest of his days. The only disciple of Jesus, the original disciple of Jesus, to die of old age. All the rest died a martyr's death, all of them for their faith. Most of them far from Jerusalem, where Jesus spoke those words, go and make disciples of all nations. Every disciple of Jesus followed his command to go and make disciples, every single one of them. And I'm not suggesting today that you should die for your faith, that you should be a martyr. But I am suggesting that you should live for your faith. I love what John Stuart Holden once said. John Stuart Holden was born in Liverpool in 1870. In 1899, after he finished college, he was ordained as a minister of the gospel, and he spent much of his life dedicated to carrying the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus around the world. He was very active in places like China and South America. He was the president of the Missionary School for Medicine. He lived his life to share the good news about Jesus. And this is what John Stuart Holden once wrote. He once said this, "Go ye is as much a part of Christ's gospel as come unto me. You are not even a Christian until you have honestly faced your responsibility in regard to the carrying of the gospel to the ends of the earth." Those are pretty strong words. But I think he had a glimpse of what Jesus meant when he said, come and follow me, and then go and make disciples. This is why you are here. This is why we are here. This is our purpose, and this is our mission. I've told you before that when I was a kid growing up as a boy, one of my favorite things to do with my dad was to get up early and to go fishing with my dad. Now, as a kid, you know, I loved to sleep in as much as any kid. But if my dad was going to go fishing the next morning, I was more than happy to wake up early because there was nothing I loved more than getting out on the water right as the sun was coming up. And there was nothing more fun than getting out on the lake and seeing the sunrise and then getting to a place where the fish were biting right as the sun was coming up. And whenever that happened, we would cut off the motor and we would just start fishing and pulling them out as fast as we could. But you know what happened? It didn't even matter what day it was or even what the weather was. As soon as you cut off the motor, as soon as you stopped moving and you sat still in that boat, you would begin to drift. Maybe there was a gentle breeze that day. Maybe there was a small undercurrent underneath the boat in the water. Whatever it was, it didn't matter what. It didn't matter what day it was. Whenever you cut off the engine and you stopped moving, you would always begin to drift, and you would always drift to places you didn't want to be. I think for a lot of us, that's what's happened in our Christian faith. At some point in our life, at some point, we accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of our life, and at that moment in our life, we were on fire for Christ. We couldn't stop talking about what Jesus was doing in our life and for our life. He was changing everything. But at some point along the way, we stopped moving. At some point along the way, we lost that passion, we lost that fire, we lost that flame. And whenever that happened, we began to drift. Yeah, we kept showing up on Sundays, at least most Sundays. We still believe that Jesus is who he says he is. But we've lost that white hot sense of mission, of purpose, of what happens when we put on Christ. What would happen if a firefighter, when he put on or she put on that uniform, forgot what their mission was? What would happen if a first responder, when they put on their uniform, whatever uniform they wear, what if they were to forget what their mission and what their purpose was? It would be tragic. People calling for help wouldn't get the help they needed if those people forgot what their job was. Wow, in the same way, how tragic is it if generation after generation of people who call themselves followers of Jesus forget their mission and their purpose? Jesus made it absolutely clear, this is your mission, this is your purpose, to go and make disciples. This is our mission, is to go and to make disciples. This is what we were made to do. We were made to make disciples. And I don't know about you, but I can get excited. I can get really excited about what this could mean for Riverside. I can imagine a day where every person who is a part of this faith family, who's a part of what God is doing in the life of Riverside, would either be going on a mission trip somewhere here in this country or around the world, or if for whatever reason, if you can't go, you're sending, because all of us are either going or sending or going, making disciples of all nations in whatever way we can. And I can get excited about what that means for us right here in our own community. In a very real way, God has brought the nations to our doorstep. So what would it look like? What would it mean for us to do everything we could to reach the people of our community or to reach the people of this area for Jesus? Let me ask it this way. What wouldn't you do to help someone have an experience, a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ? What would hold us back? What would keep us from opening the doors to letting even more people in to experience the same mercy and love and the grace that all of us have experienced because of Christ Jesus? I can get excited about what would happen in this church if we reclaimed that passion and that purpose for coming to follow Jesus, absolutely, but then going and making disciples. Let's pray. God, you are so good, and your love endures forever. And today what I want to pray is that you would remind us of those words of Jesus to his first disciples. May they be the words that we need to hear today as disciples of Jesus right here on this day, that you have called us absolutely to come and follow you, but not just for the sake of learning, not just for the sake of following, but so that we could be a part of your mission and your purpose in this world to make disciples. And God, help us to see, open our eyes to see the opportunities all around us to show people, to share with people the love and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that we have experienced in Christ because of what Jesus did on that cross some 2,000 years ago. It has literally changed everything about us. And may it be such good news in our lives that we can't help but share it with those around us. God, we need you now. And I pray that you would help us. Help us to share this good news with the world around us. I pray that this good news would touch every heart and change every life. And God, would you allow this good news to radiate through this church into our community and into the world? This is my prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Discipleship. What does discipleship look like today? We're all at home, some of us in our pajamas. You may be thinking, what does that look like for me? How can I disciple and love other people when I'm stuck at home? Well, there's lots of ways. Many of you have children in your home. Maybe grandparents are having opportunities and chances to see their grandkids. Discipling our children is a huge responsibility for all of us. So many of you are discipling every day, and that is a wonderful, wonderful gift. Don't take it for granted. We can also disciple in our work. Even though we're not sitting at a lunch table with our coworkers, or we're not sitting with our desk, popping into other people's offices and talking to them about their day, we have opportunities through Zoom. We have opportunities through email. When we are making decisions and choices for how we handle things, when as a teacher, when parents request things from me that maybe seem crazy, you know what? If I respond in love and graciously, they're going to feel that love. They're going to feel that compassion, and they're going to notice that difference. So you have an opportunity, friends who are working, who are maybe you're in business and you're making big decisions that affect a lot of people. You have an opportunity to do it with love and compassion, to share God's love. You don't have to even say his name, but the way you act and the way you reach out to other people and care for other people is a wonderful way to disciple those around us right now. Even a very simple way to disciple people. I know an opportunity that I have had. I do grocery pickup. Many of my friends on here do grocery pickup. There is a friend that, a lady that has brought me my groceries for years now. I've gotten to know her a little bit, checking in on her just as she brought out my groceries. I always hopped out and helped her load my groceries up. And I would ask questions about how she's doing. Just small talk, because that's my way. But it led to something deeper. It became an opportunity for me to pray for her whenever someone in her family passed away. It was an opportunity for me to reach out, to share my story, to share why I am the way I am, why I love other people, and why I want to make a difference in this world. And so you have lots of opportunities. It might be through your work. It may be through your grocery pickup. It may be taking a walk and talking to a neighbor. Don't miss those opportunities. Look for ways to love other people and to show God's love. Go in peace.